Good morning. We'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. As you can see, our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, we met our goal this last week of $1,500. So I just want to give everybody a hand and the ones that have helped us meet that goal. And we've got through the end of the month. So we've got more candles here. So if you haven't given or if you want to give more, please consider that. And we are praying that we can light more candles. So please keep the Lottie Moon Christmas offering in your prayers. We had 29 in Sunday school this morning. Want to continue to encourage everyone to come and participate in fellowship and study God's Word. We have classes for all ages. And we have a real good time studying God's Word in our Sunday school, so I want to encourage everyone to come come to that. Today is our fellowship meal after the morning worship service. Plenty of food in the back, so we want to invite everyone that's here to please stay and come and fellowship with us after the service this morning. Do not forget today at 4:30, you need to be here at the church or we're going Christmas caroling. And we'll leave here promptly at 4:30, and we have several places we are planning on going to, so please come back, and that will be our evening service. So there'll be no p.m. service tonight other than the Christmas caroling. So please be here at 4:30, and we'll go to these places that we have decided to go to, and just spread some fellowship and some good singing to them. Do not forget Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. That's Tuesday. Our candlelight service and the Lord's Supper, we'll hold that in the original church. So just meet us there in the original church at 6 p.m. for that special service. And then we're going to start next year. And so we're starting off with a bang. Sunday, January the 5th at 9 a.m. will be our monthly breakfast, Sunday school breakfast, so please plan on attending that. Monday, January the 20th at 7:30 p.m. is the English and Second Language meal that we will provide at First Baptist in Cairo. So if you'd like to participate in that, it's always a blessing, and we can always use help. If you would like to help, just meet us at the First Baptist in Cairo about 7:30 p.m. because we usually feed at around 8. And keep that in your prayers also. But if you'd like to help with that, just show up at First Baptist in Cairo at about 7:30 p.m. on the 20th. Tuesday, January the 21st at 6:30 p.m. is the Titus 2 Women's Meeting. And I also know there's some other, the men's ministry will have that. We'll get that date set for January. And also, Brother Tim, is the men's associational meeting, is it in January?
Yeah, I have to check the date on that. That's why I haven't seen
it. Yeah, so we still got plenty of things planned. And we'll get the dates hopefully next week for some of those events and all. Any other announcements? Any birthdays?
Mary and Donna's grandson, Ryan Nelson, came back, but they wanted us to remember him this morning. Ryan Nelson.
My parents.
Who?
My birthday's tomorrow.
We get...
Tomorrow's my birthday.
Tomorrow's your birthday?
Well, what we try to do, Michaela, is get the past week through today and then next Sunday. But now we'll be glad to remember you if we sing a happy birthday this morning, because you worth at least two happy birthdays.
Talk your way out of that one. Ryan's, and also I was told, and I will throw you under the bus, Larry. I love you, brother, but that is Donna's birthday, too. She had a birthday.
Yeah, that's next week.
Next week, well.
But we'll remember her because she's worth two as well.
Okay. Any other birthdays, y'all?
Carolyn.
Who?
Carolyn Gibbs.
Yeah. Which Carolyn?
Carolyn.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
When's your birthday?
Carolyn?
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Carolyn. Okay, Harold, will you come lead?
Yeah, well, let's remember all these precious people.
And the key of G, Thomas, if you'll start out.
No, I'm kidding.
All right, let's go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And before we go to prayer, I do just want to say it's good to see Thomas and his family. He's home, folks. And it's just always good to see you, brother, and your family come visit us. And they do every chance they get. They will come and visit us, and it means a lot to us, Thomas. And we continue to pray for you and your family, and especially your ministry and what you've done for the Lord throughout your whole life, brother. And I just want to say that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We thank you for this past Sunday school. We thank you for this time, the fellowship that we have, Lord, the birthdays, the announcements, and all of that, Lord. We just want to give you the glory and for all the things that we do, Lord. But we do come to a time, Lord, that it's time to worship, Lord. And Lord, that it's that time now, Lord. And I just pray for these services today, Lord, this worship service. I just pray, Lord, that we are here for one reason and one reason only, Lord, and that's to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And we do that through our singing and our hymns, Lord. We thank you for the looking forward to the special music this morning, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord, our offering, Lord. All of these are the elements of worship, Lord, but we know worship comes from our heart, Lord, and I just pray that all of our hearts are prepared to worship you today, Lord. I do want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he stands before us, Lord, this Sunday before Christmas, Lord, and he proclaims your word today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we are attentive, we listen, Lord, but Lord, there's more to it than just listening and being attentive, Lord. You want us to be faithful, and you want us to be obedient to your word, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, as we approach this day of Jesus' birth on Christmas, Lord, that we will just be committed to Jesus and that we'll be faithful and be obedient. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Harold?
Well, if you can this morning, please stand as we sing hymn 95, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Oh, silent flocks. And our offertory this morning will be hymn 103, Away in a Manger, hymn 103.
Did you know?
can sing along if you want to. Everybody knows this one, I think. Oh, Holy Night, so y'all sing along if you want to. Flutist thing, I knew we would forget something.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all. Well, this morning, we are going to look at Luke chapter 2. So if you will turn in your Bibles there. The title of the message this morning is simply this: you can't have Christmas without Christ. You can celebrate a holiday, you can celebrate time off from work, you can celebrate anything you want to celebrate this coming Wednesday, but if you do not have Christ living in your heart, you're just celebrating another day. You're not celebrating Christmas, because Christmas is all about Christ. And if we make it anything else other than about Christ, well, then we've made a mistake in what we're supposedly celebrating. You cannot play football without a football and a field. You can't be a baseball player without a ball and a bat and a glove. You've got to have those things. And for us to be Christians, to celebrate Christmas, we must have Christ living in our hearts and lives. As I thought about it, Brother Tim, we were talking about Sunday school this morning, and you know, normally what I do in a month leading up to December, so the whole month of November and going into December, I'm reading over the Gospels. I'm reading, you know, the story of Christ and his birth and all the stuff that goes with him, and all the references to the gospel story about who Christ is, why he came, why he had to come, and what he did, and what that means for us now. And as I've said time and time again, the problem for most pastors is, how do you preach the old story a new way? You don't. It's there. God put into words what he wanted us to know. Now, there are things, as we talked about in Sunday school, when you read over a passage, you read over it and read over it and read over it, there are a lot of times that you'll say, hey, I didn't realize that. Where was that before? Because it is the living word of God that speaks into our hearts and lives. It's the same truth, but sometimes we apply that truth to our lives differently. Through stages of life, through circumstances of life, we grow in our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we become more of who Christ wants us to be. As we read in these verses and in Luke chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1, and then we're going to read on down through verse 20. At Sunday school this morning, you know, we kind of hit halfway through Luke chapter 1 and how Gabriel came and told Mary that she was going to conceive and give birth to a son, and they were going to call she was to call his name Jesus, which translated back and forth is Emmanuel, God with us. So listen to what chapter 2 says. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to how many people? To all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told. And we pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we have read your word this morning, God, I pray that you would put it into our hearts and minds, Lord, to help us to reflect on what you have done for us. Lord, help us to reflect today on who you delivered this message to. Lord, help us to recognize, Lord, that shepherds are just like us. Lord, help us to realize that since we know the truth, since we have seen the truth and experienced the truth, Lord, we must be about sharing that truth with others. Lord, have your way in our hearts and lives today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we realize that if you were going to announce, well, let's just say you were the president of the United States and you were expecting a child, who would you invite to come see the baby? Maybe the Prime Minister of Canada. You would go around and you would invite all the important people to know about your child's birth. Maybe, well, Queen's gone, but maybe the King of England. Maybe those would be people that you would say, I want you to come visit my child. But no, in the birth of Jesus, God decided that he was going to take and let his truth be known to a bunch of shepherds. Now, what was wrong with shepherds? A whole bunch in those times. Shepherds, as we talked about last year, shepherds were outcast of society. They spent most of their days, their nights, their weekends, their whole lives out in the fields, because it literally tells us that they were living out in the fields with their sheep. That's what they did. That was their job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And because of that, they were outcasts of society. But they were also outcasts religiously. Because as shepherds, it wasn't like they could run to town, every time the Sabbath came around and leave their sheep out in the field where the wolves and the bears and the people would steal them. And so they had part of this to where they were societal outcasts, they were religious outcasts because they couldn't come, they couldn't offer their sacrifices. And a lot of times the townspeople, if you came up missing something, guess who took it? It was the shepherds. Why were they always accused? Because we know that shepherds have to move their animals from one field to another. They were nomadic type people, and so they got accused of a lot of things that they probably didn't do. Their testimony in the court system would not hold up. They were outcasts. But you know what? Without Christ, you and I are outcasts too. We're separated from our Savior. We're separated from our God, and it is only through the sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus Christ, that we can even possibly have a relationship with God. These shepherds lived out in the field 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That they did that. They spent their lives taking care of sheep. And so why would God choose to announce the birth of His Son to a bunch of shepherds? Abraham Lincoln, I know I've said this before, Abraham Lincoln made the statement that God must really like nobodies because He sure made a bunch of them. If you think about that statement, and we think about ourselves, why would God choose to let you and I know about His Son's birth? Maybe because He loves you. Maybe because He wants people to know that it's not just about the elite in society, that somehow they've got an upper hand on who can have the Son of God as their Lord and Savior. Maybe He wanted to let the world know that God is not prejudiced, that He doesn't look at one person or one color or one society standard over another and decide who can come and who can't. Maybe it was His way of saying, look, I'm announced the birth of my Son to these shepherds to let everybody know that you don't have to be somebody to be a believer in my Son. You don't have to be a somebody to trust my Son as your Lord and Savior. You know, I think too that not only did He decide to share the birth of His Son with shepherds, I believe it's because Jesus Himself had a shepherd's heart. Think about it for a minute. In Scripture, we find in John chapter 10, verses 2 through 4, that this is what Jesus said. He said, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Jesus was saying there in that passage, he says, I am the good, what? Shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And he said, listen, I just don't show up every now and then. I know, I go in, I get my sheep, I bring them out. They know my voice, and I know them, and I call my sheep by name, and wherever I go, they're going to follow me because they know my voice and they're going to do what I tell them to. You see, I believe Jesus had the heart of a shepherd, so who better to announce the birth of God's Son, the Good Shepherd, to a bunch of other shepherds? We think about the birth of Jesus, the birth of the one who would come to save the world. He's come. Who do we announce it to? We think about the Bible stories and the different gospels, and Matthew tells us that they were how many wise men? Trick question, right? We don't know. We don't know. We just know they brought three gifts, right? We don't know how many wise men there were or the Magi. And so we know that these people came because they saw the star, right? And can I tell you, it's not the Christmas star that they call it, because you know what that is? That's just several different planets, Venus, Mars, and some of the others line up, and they don't really all come together. But the astrologists will tell you that that's what they were following. I believe it was the Holy Spirit Himself leading them to come to where Jesus was. But guess what? When did the wise men actually show up? About 2 years later. About 2 years after the birth of Jesus, they show up. And so the nativity scene, while there's some truth to it, there's still a lot misleading. Anyhow, they come. But it's only because They've seen the star they wanted. And I believe the Holy Spirit led these guys to come and visit the Christ child, to have recognized that he is the King of Israel. Now, they come. We see all these things, but the point of the story here is simply that these shepherds were invited. They were the only ones who received the invitation to come. Come see the Christ. Come see the Messiah. Come see Emmanuel, the one who came to dwell and live among us. I think the love that God offered to us, he shared with the shepherds that night. And I believe it's the same gift he wants to share with you and I today. And that is the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen to me. All these things happened at just the right time and just the right moment. That there was nothing by accident that was done. When you go back and you start studying all the prophecies and how everything that happened in the birth story of Jesus was fulfilled, man, this wasn't an accident. This wasn't by chance. It was no coincidence. Everything God did was with a purpose and a time that was predetermined before the foundations of this world. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. This is what Paul writes. He says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Man, does that sound like random chance? 1 John 4, 9 and 10 says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Here again, at just the right time, God showed his love. He didn't just tell us he loved us. He proved it. He demonstrated his love for us by sending his Son to be our payment. John 3:16, we all know this verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I wonder today, do we believe that? You see, sometimes we might come across somebody who feels this way, or maybe we might be the person who feels this way, that, you know, "I'm just a nobody. How could God love me? I'm just a nobody. How could God even know my name? Why would God even care about me?" Can I tell you, God cares about you because God created you. It doesn't matter what shape, what color, what size you are. God created you. He knows everything about you. He loves you. And this morning, he's calling you by name. And he's saying, "Come, follow me." But are you willing to come? Maybe you feel that way, that nobody could love you. Nobody cares. But God does. God sent his Son from heaven to this earth to be your Lord, to be your Savior. He doesn't force himself on you there. He gently prods. He gently pokes from time to time, sometimes harder than us, right? When he's trying to get our attention. And he's saying, "Listen, all this is true. All this I did for you. All this I did so that you could have the Christ of Christmas in your life, so that you can truly celebrate what Christmas is all about." But is that you today? It's interesting to think about the shepherds, though. Because in this Christmas story, they didn't wait to have a deacon's meeting. They didn't wait to have a committee formed before they decide to hire somebody to watch their sheep. When they hear the good news, they believed. Amen? And when they heard the good news, they believed and then they acted on it. Because belief without action is not faith, right? Because faith is an action word. It is a verb. It is something we do. It's something, not that well, you can do it in the past, but you can't just do it in the past. It needs to be in the present as well and in the future. It is faith. It is acting on that faith. And these shepherds prove what it means to live by faith. Because they said, listen, we're going to have to trust God with these sheep tonight. We're going to have to trust God that the bears and the lions and the wolves, they're not going to come tear up our sheep and scatter them everywhere. We got to go see what's going on. And they did. They went and saw, they went and found the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in the manger. And they couldn't help but be amazed. But they couldn't help but worship and praise God for what they had seen and witnessed. But when they left, they didn't keep it inside, amen? Because it says they made widely known the same. They made widely known the same. Can I ask you this morning, what about us? What about us? Is God inviting you today to come see? Come see who He really is. Come see, come trust, come believe. But as you come and believe, don't just stop there. Be obedient to what He wants you to do. Because a gift like that God gives to us is not meant to be kept to ourselves. It is meant to be spread around. And can I be honest with you? If we don't spread it, who will? The news media is not going to spread it. The president's not going to spread it. The governor's not going to spread it. Not that they can't. But God intends His people, His sheep, to spread the good news. How are we doing? How are we doing? So, this John 1:12 says this. We'll close. How do you trust in Him? How do you believe? How do you believe? How do you receive the Christ of Christmas? Listen to what John writes here. It says, but as many as received Him, who is the Him? Jesus Christ. To them, He, God, gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. You see, it's not about being rich. It's not about being popular. It's not about being empowered. It's simply by saying, Lord, I believe in You. I believe that You are the Son of God. I believe that You came to this earth, that You were born of a virgin, that you lived a perfect life, and You died on the cross for sins that I committed. You were buried, and You rose from the dead on the third day. And today You're seated in heaven, making intercession for us as sinners. How about you today? Can you say 100% sure that when Wednesday comes around that you're going to truly celebrate Christmas? Or would you have to say, I'm just going to have time off. I'm going to eat food. I'm going to watch football. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to today. Why put it off? What better time of the year to trust Christ than Christmas? Amen? But I know for some of us, we say, well, you know, Brother Tim, I've got stuff in my life I need to get squared away. I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I've got something I need to deal with. Altar's open. It's like the prodigal son. He got off out there in the pig pen, and sooner or later he finally came to a sense that it came on. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you just need to come back home. Let's pray. As we stand together, Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, we love You. We thank You, Lord, for Christmas. We thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior, to be our payment, to be the appeasement for the wrath of God that comes on the sons of disobedience. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that you would have your way in each and every heart and life. Lord, for those who may have never trusted you, I pray today would be the day, Lord, that they would simply ask you to come into their heart and life. Lord, that they believe who you are and all that you and the Bible have said that you have done for us. Lord, that you've paved the way for us to come to God the Father. And it is only through you. Lord, I pray for that one who needs to put their faith and trust in you. But I also pray for those, Lord, who may have drifted away. Lord, as we gather today for Christmas, Lord, what better time to come home? Lord, I pray that you'd have your way in our hearts and lives. I pray that we would be obedient to hear your message, but also, Lord, to share it with others. Lord, help us to be faithful to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.